Well, we do appreciate our political and our religious freedoms, and of course it's at great cost. I want to say a few things before I get into my message. I know much was said by Pastor Ben's Sunday School. It's very good. Did you know that 1.1 million people died for us to still have our freedoms? And I know my time is short, so I don't know if I should go through. I got a long list here. Almost half of them in the Civil War, and close to that in World War II. But I'm counting Revolutionary, 1812, Indian War, Mexican, Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I and II, Korean, Vietnam, Persian Gulf, Global War on Terror, and that's ongoing. So a lot of suffering, and the family suffer as well. So you know the saying, freedom isn't free. So we appreciate you men here that have served. And we thank God, don't we, for what's been fought for. I won't go into things. Ben went into it well in the first service, but we still have a great country. We still love America, don't we? And we thank the Lord for what we do have. You know, there's something we can do as a church, you know, our place, and that is to shine as a light in this world and to be light and salt, to reach souls for the glory of God, to preach the word. That's what we're called to do primarily. And to pray, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I got to read this one. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this involves reaching of souls as well as prayer. You know, the church has power. We can blame government all we want for what's happening in the country. Let me say something. I'm sure you'll agree. It's the church's fault. It's because the gospel hasn't been preached like it should have been and progressively downward. But notice this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort thee therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. We want to have a peaceable land, and we can have it in result of prayer. And what is the bottom line? That souls would be saved still. That we'd still have the freedom to worship, right? Still have the freedom for the gospel to go out. So there are things that we can do. And I know some Christians are led even into politics to make a stand. And so, but what a wonderful thing it is that we still have our freedoms, and we want to appreciate it. Freedom isn't free. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. The context here, it had to do with our place, just as I mentioned, our testimony in the world. And let's read it in 2:15. It says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's up to us. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now notice that theme there, the day of Christ. That's the day of our accountability. That's the bema seat of Jesus Christ. That's when we hope we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yea, verse 17, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this text, is referring to being offered. The Greek literally means poured out as a drink offering, a libation offering. Now, we know Paul's life was a sacrificial service to the Lord. When he was saved on that Damascus road, he said to Jesus, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he went through untold suffering, didn't he? You can read it. I was going to, but the time is limited. 2 Corinthians 11, 23-29. He's a soldier. And I got a hat from Art he gave me. And it says, God's Army. And it has a cross on there. And we're in God's Army, aren't we? We're soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a soldier. And he acted like it. You know, he endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ that the gospel would go out. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for the gospel as it goes out. Well, he wasn't just talking here about the hardships of the Christian ministry and a sacrificial service. We'll get to that. But what he's talking about is martyrdom. In fact, it's the same word in 2 Timothy 4:6 where he says, for I am now ready to be offered, that's the word, to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Now we know that Paul was somewhat assured that he would be released from prison in this first imprisonment, and he was. But a few years later, he was martyred as a Roman citizen, would have been decapitated. And so he understood that. He was willing to do that. And in fact, in Acts 20:24, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry I've received of the Lord Jesus to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And so we want to be those, don't we? We want to be those who are willing to serve. You want to enlist. I remember my dad was 17, World War II. Went down and enlisted. That's what everybody did back then, you know, when Pearl Harbor was hit. You didn't have to draft them. I know the draft did go clear up to 45 years old, men with several children. But they were volunteers, right? What's the name of that one hymn? A volunteer. One of the phrases is, a volunteer for Jesus. Joshua said, who was on the Lord's side? No, that was Moses. And so we want to be those who enlist. We want to be those who are willing to put our lives on the line for the Lord Jesus. Now, again, the Greek word, if I be offered, is to pour out as a drink offering. And let's consider what this means in the Old Testament. Of course, Paul was speaking from terms of the Old Testament. You know, most of the New Testament is speaking from terms of the Old Testament. And a Jewish person, though, would understand this with the offerings. And I want to read this just briefly. In Numbers 15:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, when ye come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, or a sacrifice in performing a vow, or a freewill offering, or in your solemn feast to make a sweet savor unto the Lord of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offereth his offering unto the Lord bring a meat offering of a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. Now there it is. A drink offering shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. Now I'm going to limit it for time, but three times it says that. Picture it in your mind. You've got the sacrificial lamb or bullock on the offering, and they take that drink offering and they pour it out, and it would go up in steam. That is the thought. It was secondary to the main offering. So when Paul says this, he's referring to that, the drink offering, in connection with the sacrificial service of the Philippians upon the sacrifice. If I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, he's putting their sacrificial lives in service as the primary offering. He's a drink offering poured out in martyrdom upon that. So there's some self-abnegation in this language of the Apostle Paul. But his service or his martyrdom was really in connection with not just the Philippians, but the Gentile churches. That was his ministry. And he anticipated, I'm going to die in this process. You know, there have been many who have been martyred. I remember one book in particular, John and Betty Stamm, and the communists killed them. They made an example of them, marched them through the street, took them up on a hill, killed John Stamm first, and then Betty with a sword. And was that a tragic thing? Well, yes and no, because it was for the Lord Jesus. Revelation 2:10, Jesus said to the church, was that Smyrna? He said, be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. There is a martyr's crown. It's called the crown of life. And so How many Christians have given their lives? Now, how many men have given their lives to give us freedom in America? How many have given their lives that we could, that they could be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the end? It's a special thing. And I don't have time to look at other places, but we have Jacob. He poured out a drink offering in Bethel there in appreciation to God. So that's how Paul is describing his life being poured out, a drink offering. Now let's look at the sacrificial lives of the Philippians. He says, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. You know the way the New Testament presents the Christian life and ministry and service? It isn't in a rocking chair, you know? And it isn't something easy. It is with sacrifice. In fact, Jesus said, Matthew 16, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, you know what that meant, and the disciples knew what that meant, because when with crucifixion, the crucified was to take one bar of the cross, and he's carrying it through the city. It was a shameful death, a public thing, and it was a one-way trip. And that's what he's saying. If you're going to follow me, it's a one-way trip of sacrificial living and sacrificial service for me. Isn't that a glorious thing? Be a glorious thing. Follow Christ. And that's exactly what he's talking about here, brethren. Upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Now, lest someone would misunderstand, you know, people say, well, I gave my heart to Jesus. Well, you know what they're saying, that, you know, they trusted Jesus as their Savior. But really, we don't give anything to the Lord in salvation, do we? As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus paid it all. He paid for our sins. He died. It is finished. He rose again. Salvation's by grace through faith. But as Christians now, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The mercies of God. God saved our souls. What else can we do? Like Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Or, was it Isaiah? Here am I. Send me. So, that's the attitude. It begins with a life that's surrendered to the Lord, a living sacrifice. And then it continues, when that is genuine, with a life that's dedicated to serve him, whatever the cost. You know, a soldier in the field, he didn't really have a choice. If he's committed to the battle, he's committed to the battle. He couldn't say, you know, this is really too tough, Sarge. I've decided not to do this. No, maybe some have tried that. There's no possibility of that. Why is there in Christianity? And when you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. Another metaphor. It's a commitment, right? And we want to do our best for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's consider the sacrifice of the Philippians specifically. Philippians 1, 27. They had the fellowship of the gospel that Paul appreciated. They were one in getting the gospel out. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So they knew what it was to suffer. And Paul's telling them, this is what God has ordained. He told the Thessalonians the same. And he told them, these things have been appointed for you. You know, you go through trial and you get some persecution. You know what persecution is in America? It's a nasty look. You know, we know nothing about persecution in America. Well, you're going to get it, though. You're going to get it in your neighborhood and on your job. And the world doesn't love us. Jesus said that. If they hated me, they'll hate you. But it's more of a spiritual battle we're in. I'm not saying it's not intense, the spiritual battle. But it hasn't hit America yet. It will. But nonetheless, there is a certain amount of sacrifice if we're going to get the gospel out. Here's a practical one for you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Philippians 4, 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, what do you think that meant? They gave to Paul, a missionary. Verse 18. But I have all and abound and am full, and have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable unto God, acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And so, they gave, sacrificially gave. Now, I know there's people in this church that sacrificially gave. I don't know all the details. But I know this. This building was paid off in a short amount of time. And I know, if you were here last week, there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars given to missions. We thank God for that, the ability to do that. Well, that's through sacrificial giving, grace giving. In fact, I won't turn to it for time, but 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 cites this church, not the only one, but the churches of Macedonia, and Philippians was a chief colony of Macedonia, who gave above their ability even, and Paul talks about the grace of God that is working in them. First they gave themselves, that's where it starts. So there was sacrifice, sacrificial service, and that's an honorable thing, isn't it? Or a Christian is, he's on the altar for the Lord. He wants to serve the Lord, regardless of what self-denial that may involve, what faithfulness may entail for the Lord Jesus. It's a lifestyle, right? It's where you understand you're not your own. Your time is not your own. Your resources are not your own. Your family is not your own. Everything's for Jesus. He's first. And then he says, the sacrifice and service of your faith. Now, they go together. The Greek word here for service has to do with priestly service. In other words, it's something holy and sacred, and that which is actually a form of worship. You know, all service ought to be like a form of worship. And again, my time is limited on this, but let's go to Romans 6 anyway, on this. Romans chapter 6. While you're going there, did you know the service of the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect freedom? Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. You take the yoke of Jesus, you got rest in your soul. Because you are yoked with Jesus. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield, notice that word, yield yourselves, servants to obey. By the way, that's the same Greek word. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. His servants ye are, to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, slave of sin, nature. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, I want you to note something. You have obeyed from the heart. You know, real service goes back to Exodus 21, the bond slave who loved his master. Jesus, it says in Psalm 40, mine ear has thou pierced, the bond slave. And Paul put it that way. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You serve because you love him. You couldn't think about anything else but serving the Lord. And so that's the thought. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And it won't go on because of time, but there's fruit unto holiness in that, right? There's eternal reward in that service. And so it ought to always be willing, like Jesus. I delight to do thy will, O God. And it's my meat to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you feel that way? That's your heartbeat. You want to please the Lord. And by the way, in all this pandemic and what we're trying to do, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to please the Lord. We're trying to do it right. And Anyway, it's also, we ought to realize the amazing privilege we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 12:26 on this. You know, we're following him when we serve him. And we see what he thinks about that in this verse, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, you know the definition of a bond slave? That's one who is totally devoted to the will of another. Here I am, Lord. Your will. And also, a real servant of the Lord isn't serving man. Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 1. It has a singleness of heart. Singleness of heart is unto Christ. Don't misunderstand me. It is serving man in the sense of, like Peter, if you love me, shepherd my sheep. It's expressed by service to man, but it's with a heart to please the Lord. And what's the main criteria? At the end, hopefully you hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We want to be faithful for what God gives us to do. Now, Paul was willing to be a libation offering poured out on their sacrifice and service of your faith. You know a sad scenario, brethren? if a person sought to serve God and they never really trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know that'll all go up in smoke because it's not for the Lord, really. First has to receive him, and then faith worketh by love, right? You're going to want to serve because of his mercies to you. And there is the work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Faith always has its expression, right? Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham went into a place he had not seen before. By faith, the whole chapter talks about something they did. It's a service they performed. Now, faith is reliance upon the Lord, but faith, again, always has its expression. So, with that establishment of faith, surely it is especially going to have its expression. Now, let's go to an example. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11:24. This is Moses. You know, Moses had it made. Moses, some say he was even in line to be the next Pharaoh. Don't know about that. But he surely had the wealth of Egypt at his access. In Hebrews 11:24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he understood the value. By faith he understood the value of serving the Lord. And he understood even to be reproached for Christ. That's greater. That's greater riches than Egypt. You know, I thank God. I appreciated Pastor Ben's message. Made me happy to be part of Salem Bible Church. And I thank God I'm associated with Christians, you know, that are serving the Lord. Throw in your lot with other believers, right? It's a glorious thing to serve God. It's a glorious thing to have the fellowship with those that are serving God. That's what Moses saw. So we want to have sacrificial service by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was Paul's response to this? The fact that he might die. He might be that libation offering poured out on their sacrifice. They actually might die. You know, sometimes it's questionable. Is it easier to live for the Lord or is it easy to die for the Lord? We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's not so easy, you know, to be faithful through life. Well, Paul says, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. I'm reading a book right now. It's the letters of Samuel Rutherford. And there's about 300 and some letters, and they're written during 1636 to 1638, and he's in Scotland. And this is a time when the church is being persecuted in Scotland and men are being martyred. He himself was imprisoned and would have been martyred, but he died of sickness. And his letters, as he's in prison, don't speak of the hardship. Oh, he felt it. He does touch upon that. But primarily, he is so rejoicing in the Lord. He said, God has repaid me 100-fold. He said, there's much more to Jesus Christ than I realized. And he says, my regret only is that I can't communicate this to the church. I'm not allowed to preach. But that's the way Paul felt. I joy and rejoice with you all. Now, how can that be? And again, my time is limited, and we have communion. There's rejoicing in serving the Lord. That's a happy person. And there's rejoicing in suffering for the Lord. And just to quote some passages where Acts 5:41, Peter and John said, we rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. We rejoice that we could be identified with Christ. And Paul, we'll see it later in Philippians, he talked about I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, John Bunyan, imprisoned for 12 years for preaching the gospel, he said, God filled that prison cell with light. That was my sanctuary, in other words. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, where we're told to, we want to count this joy. Don't think it's strange. We do somehow when it comes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Jesus said it would. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And didn't Jesus say, rejoice when men say all manner of evil against you and persecute you? He even said, pray for them who do this to you. Great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice, because great will your reward in heaven be. So, if you're still there in 1 Peter, look at verse 14, 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, or blessed are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Now you know how to bear that, right? How did Jesus bear that? When reviled, he let him have it. No, when reviled, he reviled not again. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. Can you do that? Now that's the grace of God. And so, now he goes on to say, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So if they were living consecrated sacrificial lives for the Lord, their lives surrendered to the Lord, Paul is saying he would gladly be poured out in martyrdom. You know, there's a strong connection between Paul and this church. We know that, studying this book, the Philippian church. And they were united in the Lord through faith. But therefore, there would be a mutual joy in their mutual sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if I could go back to the thought of soldiers, I wasn't a soldier, almost in Vietnam. But there's surely a special camaraderie between soldiers on a battlefield. There's a special camaraderie between spiritual soldiers too. And that's what Paul's saying. And I'd gladly be poured out on your sacrifice. Well, let me say in closing, and I have a couple of applications, but here's a main one. You know, there's one a couple thousand years ago who was totally poured out. He wasn't just the libation offering, no, he was the sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, and I can't quote it, let's go to Psalm 22:14. Notice what he says. It's a description of crucifixion hundreds of years before it happened. 22:14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Go to Isaiah 53:12. And of course he shed his blood. In other words, he died. And Isaiah 53:12, his life was poured out as an offering. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. And so Jesus was a sacrifice. Jesus, in love, laid his life down for you and I. A lot of men sacrifice for us. Well, Jesus, he made the ultimate sacrifice. Greater love can no man have than this. A man lays down his life for his friends. And he did that. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He did it out of love, personally. You know, at a time of communion, it ought to be very personal. Like Paul said, he loved me. He gave himself for me. We want to thank him, don't we, for that sacrifice. But let me, before we consider that strictly, let's consider what we've looked at here. The example of Paul and the example of the Philippian Christians. A sacrificial service of faith. Are we on the altar for Jesus? Have we offered our lives a living sacrifice? Is it his will that is supreme? Are we willing? We're willing to go forward, whatever that cost is, to follow the Lord in our lives in accomplishment of his will by faith, because he's ordained us unto certain good works that we should walk in them. You know, when that happens in a Christian's life, there is a turning point. You can see it outwardly when that dedication comes. And then we want to have the follow through too, though, don't we, in faith. And realizing the privilege and the joy that it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple thing. It's a matter of the heart. We've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. We might be servants yielded unto him. So, and really, in doing that, we're following Christ. We're following what he did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's read that. And I have it here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Father, how we thank thee for the ultimate sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We do appreciate today many who suffered and died that we have independence. We know you gave that to our country, and we appreciate it. We pray you would preserve it. But we thank you most of all for the spiritual freedom we have because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, for the spotless Lamb of God. Nobody could have done what he did, to lay his life down as a payment for our sins. And so we want to honor thee at this time of communion as we look back to the cross, and we give thee the glory, Father. We know it's all of Jesus. It's nothing of us. And so we rest in that. We rejoice in what you've done. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.